This is a UIL listening skills practice entitled Joseph Pulitzer, the Man Behind the Prize. Created by prominent 19th century journalist and publisher Joseph Pulitzer, the Pulitzer Prizes are announced in April of each year by the president of Columbia University. They are awarded based on the recommendations of the independent Pulitzer Prize Board and are recognized as the highest honors in American journalism, literature, and music. The first prizes were awarded on June 4, 1917. They serve as a legacy of one of America's greatest journalists. Born in Mako, Hungary on April 10, 1847, Joseph Pulitzer was the son of a wealthy grain merchant. The family moved to Budapest, where Joseph was educated by tutors and in private schools. At the age of 17, despite weak vision and poor health, the 6'2" teenager decided to join the military. He was turned down by the Austrian and British armies and by the French Foreign Legion. He went to Hamburg, Germany, and met a recruiter for draftee replacements for the United States Army. He then traveled to Boston and joined the L Company of the 1st New York Lincoln Cavalry, which had many soldiers who spoke German. Pulitzer settled in St. Louis, Missouri in 1866 after the Civil War. Although fluent in Hungarian, French, and German, Pulitzer spoke little English. He worked as a mule tender, waiter, and at other odd jobs to support himself, and he spent many hours at the city's mercantile library studying English and the law. It was here in 1868 that Pulitzer's career in journalism began. As he watched a game between two regular players in the library's chess room, a conversation began. One of the players was Carl Schurz, editor of the Westlich Post, St. Louis's leading German-language daily. Schurz hired Pulitzer as a reporter. Pulitzer continued to study law and became active in politics. In 1869, he was elected to the Missouri State Assembly. In 1872, he acquired controlling interest in the Westlich Post. He became a member of the bar in Washington, D.C. in 1874, but he still worked as a journalist, reporting for the New York Sun. Pulitzer mastered the English language and became a U.S. citizen. He married Kate Davis in 1877, and the two enjoyed the social life of St. Louis for a brief time. In 1878, Pulitzer bought the St. Louis Dispatch for $2,700. He combined the paper with another purchase, the St. Louis Post, and turned his time and energy to the new publication, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. He printed investigative articles and editorials that exposed government corruption and tax frauds of the wealthy, and attacked gambling and lotteries. Circulation grew quickly, making Pulitzer a wealthy man. He spent long hours at his desk, which added a heavy strain to his already weak eyesight and poor health. On doctor's orders, he and his wife went to New York in 1883 to sail to Europe on vacation. Instead of boarding the boat, Pulitzer met with financier Jay Gould, owner of the New York World, which was in serious financial trouble. Pulitzer bought the newspaper for $346,000 and immediately devoted himself to turning the publication around. The same policies that had made the St. Louis Post-Dispatch so successful were applied to the New York World. Human interest articles ran next to reports of public and private corruption. Many more illustrations appeared, and promotions were developed to increase circulation. One of the most successful of these raised public subscriptions for construction of the pedestal for the Statue of Liberty. 2 years after buying the New York World, Pulitzer hired Richard Outcault, whose cartoons were extremely popular with the readers. He was also elected to Congress by the New York voters in 1885, but he only served a few months before resigning. Readership rapidly increased and sales reached over 600,000. The New York World became the largest circulating newspaper in the country. In 1897, Pulitzer founded the Evening World, and in that same year, he recruited Nellie Bly, who was working as a reporter for the Pittsburgh Dispatch. She sometimes went undercover to investigate, and much needed reform in housing, labor conditions, and the treatment of mental patients resulted from her articles. In 1889, Bly suggested that the New York World send her around the world in a contest based on the Jules Verne novel, Around the World in 80 Days. Over 1 million people entered their guess on the length of time Bly's trip would take. When she arrived back in New York in the record time of 72 days, 6 hours, 11 minutes, and 14 seconds, massive crowds waited to greet her. Pulitzer's sight was almost gone, and an illness left him extremely sensitive to noise. In 1890, Pulitzer withdrew as editor of his publications, leaving the newsroom forever, although he continued to be involved with the business decisions and the editorial direction of the papers. Special soundproof rooms, which he used for the rest of his life, were constructed in his home in New York, in his vacation house in Maine, and on his yacht. In 1896, the New York World produced its first color supplement. Cartoonist Richard Outcault created a new character, a youngster dressed in a yellow nightshirt called the Yellow Kid. The cartoon was so popular that William Randolph Hearst, owner of rival newspaper, the New York Journal, paid Outcault a huge amount of money to leave Pulitzer and work for the New York Journal. Hearst took the circulation war even further by cutting the price of the New York Journal and adding color magazine sections. As the competition between the New York Journal and Pulitzer's The New York World grew, the strong wording of headlines and sensationalism of stories increased. Both papers used methods that were questionable, if not actually dishonest, in attempts to attract readers, especially the working class and immigrants. This style of publishing, which shaded the stories with sensationalism and even fabrication, became known as yellow journalism. When Cuba rebelled against Spain, both papers fanned the flames of war. On February 16, 1898, the U.S. battleship Maine exploded and sank in the harbor at Havana. Hearst's New York Journal and Pulitzer's New York World both immediately called for war against Spain. In response to the public outcry that followed, Congress passed a war resolution. The two publishers responded quite differently to the resolution. William Hearst claimed to have started the Spanish-American War. Joseph Pulitzer turned away from yellow journalism, and at the end of the four-month war, the New York World returns to investigative reporting. The paper fought for progress and reform and was influential in the passage of insurance regulations and antitrust law. Joseph Pulitzer was the first to propose college-level training for journalism students. When he wrote his will in 1904, he made provisions to create the Columbia University School of Journalism. He also established funds and set guidelines for yearly prizes to be awarded in recognition of excellence by American journalists and writers. His guidelines were deliberately flexible, allowing the Pulitzer Prize Board to adjust to the changes that time would inevitably bring. Four fellowships were also created to be awarded to outstanding graduates of the Columbia School of Journalism. In 1909, the New York World published an investigative report on a $40 million payment made by the United States government to the French Panama Canal Company. Congress claimed that the report of fraud had criminally libeled banker John P. Morgan and President Theodore Roosevelt, among others, and indicted Pulitzer. The paper continued the investigation. The court dismissed the indictments, and Pulitzer was credited with a huge victory for freedom of the press. On October 29, 1911, Joseph Pulitzer died of heart disease while on his yacht. The Columbia University School of Journalism was established the following year, and the first Pulitzer Prizes were awarded in 1917. The prizes that Pulitzer established as an incentive for writers and journalists have become the most sought after in the nation. Categories have been revised and added as time and technology changed journalism, influenced literary styles, and created many new ways to compose and present music, drama, and film. His dream of journalists with college educations has come true, and his own words are perhaps the best statement of the importance of training, integrity, and excellence in journalism. Pulitzer said, "Our republic and its press will rise or fall together. An able, disinterested, public-spirited press, with trained intelligence to know the right and courage to do it, can preserve that public virtue without which popular government is a sham and a mockery. A cynical, mercenary, demagogic press will produce in time a people as base as itself. The power to mold and shape the future of the republic will be in the hands of the journalists of future generations." The end.